come reverently into thy throne of grace, Father, knowing that until that last child is in and child trained, Father, we believe that there is mercy upon thy mercy seat. But as your prophet said, when that last child is in, then that mercy turns to judgment. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be with us, and as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. Knowing that there was no man that ever lived that was perfect in the body of this flesh except your Son Jesus. And Father, knowing that you do not see us, but you see the blood. Amen. And when you see the blood, you see us as white as snow. And as white, Lord, as the rays of the sun coming down. And Lord, we believe that as your light comes down even in a greater lightness and whiteness than the rays of the sun, it bleaches every bit of unbelief out of our beings, Father. And just as we lay in the presence of the Son, Father, we know that we shall ripen into the glorious image which you ordained us to be in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to speak again from the Masterpiece. This is 92 in our series, and the subtitle is The Gathering of the World Council of Churches. Tonight we'll be speaking from paragraph 169, where Brother Branham said, "The stalk, tassel, and husk is dead and dried now." There's only one thing that has to happen to that, and it's to be gathered in the World Council of Churches for its burning. This evening I would like to talk about this one short thought that Brother Branham has made concerning the drying up of the shuck and the World Council of Churches. Now, we know he's speaking of organization and the gathering of the tares here, for he says it's to be gathered in the World Council of Churches for its burning. So the very purpose of it going to the World Council of Churches is for its burning. Therefore, he's referencing the parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. So if we would open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 24. "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and then went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came, and they said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now notice Jesus points out the fact that the two very different types of life or seed will be planted alongside of each other in the same field. The field represents the world. The sowing is done first by the owner of the field, and then his enemy comes into the field and imitates his sowing, but with a different life seed. Now remember in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus tells us the parable. He says, the seed is the word of God. So if the seed is the word of God, and we find out in Peter, 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, that the word of God is the seed which lives and abides forever. But he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, which perishes, but of incorruptible, which lives and abides forever. So the incorruptible we know to be the word of God, then the other seed would have to be the words or the thoughts of men. Now, the facts of the parable are as follows. Number one, there is one field that the seed is placed, i.e., the woman, and we are the husbandry. Number two, there are two sowers or sources of seed, the owner of the field and his enemy. Now, remember that the field itself is the world. So he says this is at the end time, and the whole world is the field. Now, there is no time in the history of the world that a message has gone forth into all the world until this hour. The ministry of William Branham has gone into somewhere around 169 countries. The doctrine has gone into what we know of at least 162, but because of the way that we track things, we don't know everything, because we only see the first 30 that pop up each month, or the highest 30. First 30, and then it just keeps track of the highest 30. So the fact is that there's no other time that the Word of God went forth into all the world until this hour. In Jesus' day, it went forth to the area of Israel and the surrounding countries in the days of Paul, went as far as into Europe. In the days of Wesley, it came over to America. But in this hour, it's gone into all the world. There are two sowers, or two sources of seed, the owner of the field, which is God himself, and his enemy. There are two seeds that are sown, identifying two different life forms and natures. The tares are an intrusion, but they are allowed to grow up alongside of the wheat until the harvest, for the sake of the wheat, until the wheat is mature enough to withstand a separation. Five, then a separation takes place, and as Brother Branham said, then warfare is declared. Six, there is both a binding and a bundling of these tares, and remember, these are two different words. Jesus said, bind them into bundles. These are two different words, and as Brother Branham made clear to us when he said the appearing and the coming are two different words, and they mean two different things. Now, dog and cat are two different words, and they mean two different things. Black and white are two different words, and they mean two different things. And binding and bundling mean two different things. Number seven, the tares are destined for burning. And number eight, the wheat is to be gathered, not bundled, but gathered and then placed in the storehouse of the owner. Notice the two seeds are allowed to grow up side by side until the time of the harvest. Then a separation takes place, which comes via the organization of the church, not the bride, the church. And this organization is a process of gathering for the burning. From Uncertain Sounds, Brother Branham said, you know, the Bible said, let the wheat and tares grow together, and he would bundle up the tares at the end. They are. They're getting bundled up in one great big bunch, all of them coming together to form the image of the beast, an ecclesiastical power and image like Rome. Oh, it's coming. Don't you worry. It's going to be here, and you're going to see it. You won't die of old age, none of you, I don't think, till you'll see it. We've got the head of it sitting right now, Jezebel, turning Ahab's neck. And remember the days of that, don't you? How many of you ever heard my tape on Jezebel religion? Now, it's interesting that Brother Branham made a comment, and if you do any searches, you might want to check this out. But Brother Branham made a comment about John Kennedy, and he said, I think he's going to make a fine president so that it opens the door for others to come in. So Brother Branham thought he'd make a fine president, but it just opened the door for more of the Jezebel religion, or actually the Catholic Church, to influence more. And I don't know how many, but we've got five of the nine Supreme Court justices are Catholic. There was a time when they wouldn't allow anybody in a major role who was Catholic, because they had a constitutional, what would you call it, a conflict of interest. Who do they serve, the Pope or the nation? From Restoration of the Bride Tree, Brother Ramps said, the Bible said that the wheat and the tares would grow together until the last day. Then he would bind the tares, is that right? First, and burn them. And the wheat would go to the garner, is that right? The tares are binding themselves together in organization. Confederation of churches for the atomic burning. Exactly right, but the church is getting ready to go in the garner, just as sure as the world, in the rapture. For the free woman won't be heir with the bondwoman. Notice how Brother Ram describes this binding together as organization that's doing this. Well, Jesus used the word deo in describing the binding together. Now, the word actually means to bind by placing under obligation. Now, this binding is necessary to organize and thus control the assembly of tares. And by placing the people under obligation, which take them from the word, we see that organization has bound the people, keeping them from searching further for more light than what is available in their churches. And this is done through programs. Look at every big church and you will see that the people are not content to come and to hear the minister preach the word of God, but you will find many programs going on in those churches, and the larger the congregation, the more programs to keep the people content. Then after the tares are bound, Jesus tells us that they are then to be placed into bundles. Now, in using the word bundle, Jesus is telling us that there is a certain characteristic concerning the binding together. Although the word for bundle is a word which can mean binding, Jesus used two different words in describing the process which is to take place. He says the reapers will bind them into bundles. He never said into one bundle, but into bundles. It's not the World Council of Church, it's the World Council of Churches. Thus we see the word bundles further defines the process of these tares that which they must go through before they are ready for the burning. They are bound first and then bundled. The use of the plural tells us that there will be many different bundles, just as we see that there are many different denominations. They are gathered first. This gathering could suggest a very loose coming together. But by adding the word bundle to further define the binding process, Jesus shows us form and symmetry and purpose, that these will be involved in how that they are presented for the burning. Now, a bundle is not just some collection of sticks thrown together in any direction. That's a pile. A bundle suggests to us that all the tares which are placed into bundle, in each bundle they are lined up in the same direction. If you're going to grab a pile of sticks to throw into a burning pile, you can't grab a pile of sticks if some of them are coming at you in your direction and some are going across direction. You're going to be juggling that thing and losing half the sticks by the time you get to the pile or to the burning. But if you can arrange them all in the same direction, in other words, they've all got the same focus, they all have the same mindset. You see, as if you would study this out, Brother Branham says that organization is the spirit of Satan, which came through Cain, which came down through his lineage. And we find that organization is a matter of making things more efficient. That's why people organize. The very first city built was named after Cain's firstborn named Enoch. And it was in order to build a city, you have to basically plan things out. You have to lay out your streets and how your sewage is going to go and how your water is going to be planned and these kind of things. So there's got to be organization involved. Organization to burn. If you were to attempt to burn every bundle or every stick, so to speak, every burning stick, actually the old English word faggot means burning stick. So if you were to take all the faggots in the world and line them up for the burning, and I'm talking about burning sticks, I'm not talking about people, but if you were to line up all the burning sticks in the world and you wanted to burn them efficiently, you wouldn't take them one at a time. You would have to gather them together, and you would spend more time in the gathering process than you would in the actual burning. Once you get them all into the bundle for burning, they burn pretty quick. And because there's more fuel there, they burn hotter and faster instead of just one little stick at a time. All right, now notice that Brother Branham describes the binding together as organization. That Jesus used the word, as I said, dio, which was a different word from the word bundle. All right. And after the tares are then bound, Jesus tells us that they are then placed into bundles. And in using the word bundle, Jesus tells us that there is a certain characteristic concerning the binding. And as we said, it's the same. They have the same direction. They have the same mindset. As Brother Brown said, notice when Luther came on the scene, after Luther went off the scene, men organized Luther's message. You see, you had a vehicle for the burning because you had people coming to a certain agreement on the word. When they came to that agreement on the word, but they put a period after what they believed, they were basically, the spirit left them, they dried up, and they're ready for burning. So with each different denomination that started, it was a catalyst toward its bundling and burning. He says the reapers will bind them into bundles. He never said into one bundle, but into bundles, all right? And as I said, a bundle is a collection of sticks, not just thrown into a pile, but into a bundle. And they all have the same order, same direction. Now, this means that the gathering and binding and bundling takes more time. But then the time for burning can take very little time. And we know at the end of 3.5 years, the earth is burned. We don't know how long it'll be before we come out on the ashes of the wicked. But if you took one stick at a time and threw it into the flames, it would take a very, very long time to gather them all together and then light the fire. It would come into a... if you gather them all together first, then the blaze would be so great that actually, as the scripture says, that the earth would melt with fervent heat. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 to 17, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. How many have ever thrown gasoline on a bundle to burn it? Anybody in here admit to it? What happens when you strike the match? Kaboom! That's sudden heat. That's a sudden explosion. It's a sudden fire. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There's nothing you do on earth today in the form of building, in the form of creating systems, in the form of doing anything. You could build concrete bunkers. It's all going to dissolve. There's only one thing, Brother Brown said, you take with you, and that's your character. And there's only one act that you can do, and that's to share the word with someone to save their soul. Because that's all you're going to take over there. Everything else is going to be dissolved. He said, and all things are going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth right wiseness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to his wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle with, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we see how it is organization that is the means by which the tares are gathered and assembled together. The church is bound first by a false word, and then by organizing around that false word, they assemble the people into a more efficient and profitable means by which the whole group can be readied for the burning. Thus, we should see clearly that the false vine is the organized church. For organization is what binds them together. Then, if this be so, one of the main attributes of the false vine will be an ability to organize in numbers and thus utilize efficiencies to preach their false gospel. It's no wonder that you could have 1,500 preachers in Kinshasa, Congo, that claim the message. 1,500 preachers when you've got 150 churches. So every church averages 10 preachers. And so we see how it is organization gets people ready for the burning. From restoration of the bride tree, Brother Brown said, then he bound them up, laid them off, and said, now, one of these days, they'll be burned. Bind them up in their organizations. And from it wasn't so from the beginning, he said, in them churches, there are fine people. And I don't doubt that of the 500 million people in Congo, that there are some very, very fine Christian people. I've met a lot of them. But in half a million of anything, you're going to find a lot of fallout. He said, but it isn't, it's the system that binds them. It's not the church itself. It's the people in the church. It's the system behind it that binds them, puts them into a place, breaks out fellowship, won't let them go on with God. And it's a pitiful thing. But that's what does. That's what God hates. Not the people in there, but the system that's binding them in what he is what he hates is that organization that tells them that if they go to another church, they're going to be excommunicated. And the people don't know what to do, and they'll pay for it someday. You wouldn't think right in this message that we would have the same organizational spirit that would cause men to travel halfway around the world just to influence other men to stay away from what's being taught as truth. You wouldn't think that that would happen, but it does, and it did. Now, a bundle does not represent a loose-knit organization, but one which has structure and symmetry. Every stick faces the same direction, and they are there for the same purpose. And they must conform to the same standard in order to fit in with that bundle. Notice that Jesus himself speaks of this organizational spirit concerning the two seeds. In Matthew 13, verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now we know that this is the hour in which the Son of Man has come with a shout, which is a message, and that is the sowing of the seed. And this title, Son of Man, signifies a prophet. Therefore, we see that a prophet will come forth sowing seed. Now, it's interesting to note that the Bible, Jesus also tells us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we know the word rain signifies what? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. What is the rain? He said, my blank shall fall as the rain. My doctrine. My doctrine shall fall as the rain. Now, what doctrine was it that benefited both the wheat and tares? God came down with healing in his wings. Not only did the healing campaigns and the doctrine of healing benefit the true believers, but it benefited the organizations who built up their organizational numbers by the healing ministries. You see? So when the rain fell, both the wheat and the tares, they both said, thank you, God, for helping us to grow. Because that's what the water does. But the water does something else. It washes clean. And that's what the doctrine does. It washes clean. And the bride, when the latter rain came, the teaching rain came, because the former rain was the miracles. But when the teaching rain came, that's called the harvest rain. And that's when the separation between the wheat and tares was really noticeable. That's when the separation came. And that doctrine that came from that rain was the doctrine of Christ. And they said, well, William Branham's not a Trinitarian. We better not have him in our pulpit. They said, you know, he's not a oneness either. We better not have him in our pulpit. And so the separations took place. Now we know that this is the hour when the Son of Man has come. When he's come with a shout, a message. And we know the Son of Man is God himself in a prophetic ministry. sowing seed. Now the field, he said, is the world, not just America. He said it's the entire world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels, that's a small a there, means messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire by messengers to the tares, we know Billy Graham and Oral Roberts were leading amongst those angels, messengers. So shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, those who would stumble others, and them which do iniquity, those who know to do right, and they won't do it, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this weeping and gnashing of teeth signifies a tribulation period which ends in total burning of the earth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now in the epistle of Paul, we are told of two types of children: obedient children and children of disobedience. You see, the second doctrinal reign that came, the doctrine of Christ, the Godhead, who's here and why he's here, it came to bring forth the obedient children into obedience. It came to bring forth God's children into obedience, into the image of the firstborn son, who learned obedience by the things that he suffered. But notice the image of the organized seed is the image of the beast. And they come together to form the image of the beast. So one forms the image of Christ, the other the image of the beast. And Paul says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, look, there's not a one of us, if we've been quickened, that did not before we were quickened walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Little children that don't know any better, when the music goes boogie, they go boogie, boogie, boogie with it. Watch your little body just jerk around, and they do the same dance that their 20-year-old incestuous mother does. They do the same hip movements, the same, whatever, throwing their body around, because that's the natural inclination of the beast. But he says we weren't called to be children of disobedience. We weren't children of disobedience. We acted like them. But he's called us to a higher plane. In Ephesians 5 and verse 6, he said, let no man deceive you with vain words, useless words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, Paul is not talking about children who are disobedient versus children who are obedient, but rather we must understand what Paul is speaking about. He's talking about children of disobedience, and he called them children of disobedience. In other words, these are children who were brought into this world through a disobedient act. Thus, they were the product of disobedience, and if the product of disobedience, they then are the seed of disobedience. And we know that the seed life pictured here in this parable speaks of a real people, the children of God and the children of the wicked one, sown by the devil. And remember that every seed must bring forth after its kind, or in the same characteristics. These then would have to be serpent seed, as John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. So if he's of that wicked one, he's of the devil. Now, there are many Hebrew scholars, biblical scholars, that believe the serpent seed doctrine because God said that he used a seed in the book, God spoke of the serpent seed or the seed of the serpent in the book of Genesis. Now, in the 1904 Jewish Encyclopedia, volume 9, paragraph 70, It says the chief functions of Satan are, as already noted, those of temptation, accusation, and punishment. He was an active agent in the fall of man, and he was the father of Cain. In the 1904 Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 5, Paragraph 275, he says, Eve became pregnant and bore Cain and Abel on the very day of her creation and expulsion from Eden. Cain's real father was not Adam, but one of the demons. In the 1905 Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 11, Paragraph 69, Satan was the seducer and paramour of Eve. Now, the word paramour means a lover, especially one in an adulterous relationship. This is the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 11, Paragraph 69. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 8, the 1910 version, page 122, it says, Jewish interpretations of Scripture says the birth of Cain is ascribed to a union of Satan with Eve. I remember reading, my dad had these old Encyclopedia Britannicas around 1918 or something like that. They were very old ones. And I remember reading about the Nicene Council and the Second Nicene Council. And it said that the Second Nicene Council took place, where they actually allowed the worship of idols in the service. It said that year the Nicene was utterly destroyed by an earthquake, never to resume its importance again. You won't find that in today's rewritten history. You won't find these things I'm reading from 1904, 1905, and 1910 in your revised history. They don't tell the truth anymore. They tell you what they think. They don't even tell you facts. They just tell you whatever move that they're behind, they'll tell you what that move believes. From the Legends of the Bible by Louis Ginsberg, page 54, he says, Satan in his guise of the serpent, he approached her, and the fruit of their union was Cain, the ancestor of all impious generations that were rebellious towards God and rose up against him. In the Jewish Talmud, the Yevamoth 103, page 103, paragraph B, Rabbi Johanan stated, when the serpent copulated with Eve, he infused her with lust. In the Havsarah 126a, it reads, another rabbi said, Thus I have learnt that when the serpent had intercourse with Eve, he injected into her defilement. And in the Havsarah 126b, it reads, another stated, You rightly said that when the serpent had carnal intercourse with Eve, he injected her with defilement. And in the Yevamot 103b, according to the Midrash, the snake seduced her to commit adultery with him. Thus, a thrice repeated saying of Rabbi Yohanan has it that at the time that the snake had intercourse with Eve, he introduced filth unto her. From the Ahari Moth 76b, one rabbinical source stated, Eve bore Cain from the filth of the serpent, and therefore from him were descended all the wicked generations, and from his side is the abode of spirits and demons. And from the Bereshith 36b, for two beings had intercourse with Eve, and she conceived and bore two children. Each followed one of the male parents to this side and one to the other side, and similarly their characteristics. From Shabbath 146a, for when the serpent came upon Eve, he injected lust into her. From the Yevamot 103b, at the time that the snake had intercourse with her, he introduced filth into her. From the Zohar 128b, for they are the children of the ancient serpent which seduced Eve. Now, we all understand the two vines are twins according to the scripture, but what we're looking at here is that the seed that gravitates towards organization rather than the word of God are those seeds produced by the serpent in the garden. Now, remember in Genesis 1 and verse 11, we are told that every seed must bring forth after its kind. That means that every seed must come forth in the same nature or characteristics of its source. And so we find in the genealogy of Cain the attributes of the serpent, his cunning nature, and his organizational abilities. In Genesis 5, verse 16, we read, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Well, that's the first attribute you should be looking at, when people go out from the presence of the Lord. Oh, they say, well, we still believe the message, but we just can't have fellowship around it. Okay. Cain said, I can still call upon God, but can't stay in his presence. He couldn't live in the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, let's examine the seed of Cain and see what attributes they possessed. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now notice, this son of Cain was named Enoch. Now Cain was religious, and he named his son after the name that God had written in the stars of heaven, because that is where God had placed his first Bible. Contrary to all these so-called intellectuals that say Brother Branham was off his rocker or he was into a cult because he talked about the Bible, if you open your Bibles and read them, you're going to find many, many, many hundreds of scriptures that refer to the stars and how people were moved by those stars. Even the wise men followed the stars and the predictions of the Messiah through the stars. So these people are just crazy. They don't know their scriptures. They don't know the Bible. All they know is what they've been taught in their Baptist seminaries. But notice, Cain named his firstborn Enoch. And Cain had offered unto God an excellent sacrifice when he offered first fruit offering, which was Deuteronomy chapter 26, which is a harvest sacrifice representing a rapture of the saints. But notice how he then named his first son Enoch, knowing Enoch was to be the first son of God taken up in a rapture. So look at the attributes of his son. And he built a city. Now, in order to build a city, you must first plan out that city, and then you must organize the streets and housing and water supply and getting rid of the refuse, etc. And we all know that a city is for the purpose of organizing a people to pool energies in order to produce more with more efficiencies of effort. So he had an organizational spirit. That's what he had. It wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Branham said. So therefore, if you would take time, go back into the scriptures and chase the lineage of Cain and then the lineage of Seth. And you will find out that the lineage of Cain were the smart men, the scientists, the workers of wood, the workers of metals, they're scientists. And they all perished in the antediluvian destruction, but the lineage of Seth were humble farmers and sheep raisers. And from Abraham's covenant, confirmed, Brother Branham said, so many today, you'll give your intellectuals to God. I'll build you a big house. I'll make you an organization. I'll do this. I'll do that. Don't you realize that's the same thing Cain did? It was rejected. Cain built himself an altar and made a sacrifice, and he said, here it is. I'll worship you. I believe you. There's my sacrifice. There's my altar. Take it or leave it. That's the man today, the religious man. Esau the same way, and the church the same way. It's not what you do. It's what he's done for you. Every time that you find yourself not conforming to the image of the Son of God, just know one thing for certain. The blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than your uncertainties. The blood of Jesus Christ will annihilate your sin if you just let it. He said, if you be any otherwise minded, he'd reveal it to you. That's why you're convicted. Are you convicted because you're such a good person? You're such a great person that you come short? And that you and yourself recognize you came short, so intellectually you want to make it right? Or are you convicted because the Holy Ghost is there convicting you? He will reprove the world from sin. That's the advocate that he promised to send. If you have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly in your heart you want to do right, then God sent his Spirit. He sends his Spirit to help you do right. The problem is, many times we don't want to do right. From Mark of the Beast, he said, she's acting like her mother back there, a harlot. She organized. That's the very principle of the beginning of the trouble when the Catholic Church organized. Then the Lutheran Church organized after her. Then the Methodist Church organized after her. Then the Baptist Church organized. And now there are 696 different organizations. And the Pentecost did the same thing. Glory. What is the matter? God's proving that He's not in organization. And from I Will Restore, Brother Ram said, now these spirits that you see moving anything today, just like a government, a church, or anything, it's controlled by a spirit. Organizations are controlled by a spirit. What are those bad thoughts that come to your mind? That's a spirit. What are the good thoughts that come to your mind? That's God's spirit. Martin Luther said, the devil will come like a bird, just don't let him make a nest in your mind. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. What does resist mean? Just say no. Now, these are spirits that you see moving. Anything today, just like a government, a church, or anything, is controlled by a spirit. Organizations are controlled by a spirit. Church organizations are controlled by a spirit. Churches are controlled by spirits. Individuals are controlled by spirits. Nations are controlled by spirits. And spirit was made before the cosmic matter and life that were made. So the spirits are already there when you're born. You open yourself up to God's spirit or you open yourself up to the devil's spirit. So we see that the spirit of organization that is controlling the churches and nations today is the same spirit that was in Cain and his descendants. And it is the same seed of discrepancy. The false vine and their main attributes is organization. For that is where they began. In the beginning, before the fall in heaven, Lucifer wanted to build a greater kingdom than that of Michael. That is what Brother Branham taught. It was Lucifer trying to organize a better and brighter class of angels together that led to the expulsion from heaven. From a sermon, separation from unbelief, Brother Branham said, remember in heaven what made Lucifer jealous. He goes over in the north and puts him up a better kingdom. He wanted a bigger kingdom, more brighter, better, prettier. The devil always works in beauty. Sure he does. That's the reason Cain offered what he did for his offering. But there was no beauty in Abel's bringing his lamb. But Abel had a spiritual revelation from God, and that's what God would be pleased with. And as we have said, only through a spiritual revelation can you ever know God. You'll never know Him by knowledge. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said. Now the big fancy intellectual denominations are doing the very same thing. They're gathering themselves together to do the same thing. See? They are gathering and denominating themselves, each one trying to beat the other. And now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite it with the Catholic Church, see? Lucifer, again, building a bigger kingdom to push out people that don't believe in denominations and even take their church buildings and make storerooms and the pastors of such as no rights at all. And a man that is a God-sent man would never stay in a denomination after hearing this and seeing this if he's got enough to get out and look at it. Certainly, see? I don't say that critically. I say that truthfully, see? To see that revealed. And from, let your light so shine before men, Brother Branham said, when Jesus come, what kind of a class of people did he have to get? The uneducated fisherman, Peter, apostle, the great saint, who was given the keys to heaven, could not even sign his own name. He stunk with fish from the old fish supposed to make the old greasy apron on, and Jesus took that class of man. Today they'd kick him out of the church if he come in to worship, see? See, the people are looking for class. And did you know the devil lives in class? Do you know what caused the first battle in heaven? Was when Lucifer set up a greater class of people, got a better class of angels, he thought, a bigger kingdom, a more brighter, shinier kingdom than Michael had. And he was kicked out of heaven. You see where class comes from? Stay away from class. The hungry don't want class. The hungry wants food. Yes, sir. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now listen close, fallen angels. What kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? They've organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image into the beast, or unto the beast, as the Bible said, and building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. See, Lucifer at his work. I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What did they do? They sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did, fallen angels did. From Christ is the mystery. He said Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God that fell for Lucifer's wisdom. Fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. And organizations from man of God who's went forth to establish truth in the earth before that truth could go along and proclimate and get onto the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over and made denominations out of it. That's the reason the revelation of the seven seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now you see it? What they left off, if Luther would have went on, it had been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have went on, what would they have done? You see, they would have had to have arrived at this. From what shall I do with Jesus? He said, now, he's tried today, or just has been tried and on trial, for a world system to be formed of what's called the Council of Churches, to form the World Council of Churches. Now, and what have they done? They have voted that they will absolutely unite themselves together and have a council of churches, and in this council of churches, that all churches must belong to this council. Or if they don't, you're not even allowed to preach. You're not even allowed to have a prayer for the sick, and your church could be used for anything that they want to use it for. If they want to store boxes in it or ammunition or whatever they want to do, you have no control of it at all. You either belong to the Council of Churches or you don't belong at all. And that's the system. That's being formed here in the United States. That'll fulfill the scriptures to the dot. It fulfills what the Lord spoke to me in 1933, see? And from just once more, Lord. The Jezebel system now, blind spiritually, I'm saying, to the Word of God, joining themselves right into the Council of Churches. Everything, our great evangelical teaching, we have to forfeit that to be an organization. Because all organization that isn't in this Council of Churches, I got the paper on it, that even in your church is not in this Council of Churches, in time of trouble they can use your church to store ammunition or anything they want to. And if any man is caught having a prayer for anybody outside of affiliating with this Council of Churches, they can be shot as a federal offense. That's right. I got the papers on it from Washington, see? They're going to force you into it. That's why I've been against this organizational system. That's it. I had to keep it quiet about it being the mark of the beast, but it's late enough now till you have to know the truth. See? It is. That's exactly that. And from spoken word is the original seed. He said, all right, I predict that the two denominational groups, the Pentecostal and the evangelical groups, will work together in a denomination that will unite themselves together and will become a member, all of them, of the Federation of the Council of Churches or the Council of Churches. And they already belong to that, all of them, and there will come through them a forcing or a boycott that'll stop everything. But what belongs to that union of churches? That's what in the Bible said, that there would be a boycott, even to such a way that it would cause people to not buy or sell unless they had received this mark, the mark of the beast, which is Romanism, and the image of the beast, which is Pentecostalism. That's the image. The beast that had power, authority, to give the image life to speak, and it did. And that's the confederation of churches where they confederate themselves together. And did you know that under this president, they've moved a step closer on that? You know, they're supposed to be putting $6 billion or $8 billion, which isn't a whole lot in the economy, but into this movement, you know, to where it's going to be governed by nonprofit organizations. Well, as soon as the people declare themselves to be those nonprofit organizations, they put their hand out, they slap the mark on there, and they say, you do it our way or you don't get nothing. One day that'll take hold. And those $8 billion that have been allocated will become greater and greater and greater until all the systems, like Brother Branham said, you won't buy or sell unless you go their way. Well, it's around the corner. What's stopping it? What is stopping it? As soon as Hillary Clinton gets in there, it's going to go headlong right into that thing. She'll use the same thing. They say that she's doing more like George Bush. She's playing his playbook right now more than anybody is, more than any of the Republicans are. Yeah, she's coming off as the moderate conservative liberal. From recognizing your day, the church has not recognized her day, like Israel back in her promised land. She don't know how that she got back there. She was just automatically put back there. Why? National force put her in that place. Now I'm going to say something. National Force put Israel in her homeland. National Force will put the church in the World Council of Churches. But the power of God will put the people in the bride. The world forces this way and the world forces that way, but God forces upward. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is Spirit and life, will put the bride in her place, because she'll recognize her position in the Word, then she's in Christ, and it will put her in her place. No national force will do it, but the national forces did drive Israel to her homeland. The national forces of the Council of Church will drive every organization into it, but the power of God will raise the bride into glory out of it. Oh, people, recognize your day, as Jesus warned you, the sign of Sodom and the church's conditions of this day. It's coming. How soon? I don't know. We should be thankful that we have time now to see our children being raised, to come to the point where they can serve Christ with a knowledge and understanding, that they've made their mind, they've made their commitment to follow Christ, that God can fill them with His Spirit and get them ready, get them into the image of His Son, get them ready for a rapture. We should be thankful for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because knowing, as your prophet said here, the World Council of Churches, that organizational spirit of the devil, and we see what it's about to do, and Father, we didn't go into the many, many things your prophet said, but they will one day take over. We hope and pray by that time, Father, we'll be gone. But those that are left behind, those that do not have the Spirit of God, those that are not born again, will be here for the tribulation period, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, Father, we just pray that you would sanctify us wholly by the washing of water by thy word, and get us ready, Father. Fill us, Lord, until we're full. And, Father, we just pray that, being sensitive to your shout, that we also, when the voice of the resurrection takes place, that we'll be at our place, our post of duty. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If we could have the Brother Ron, Brother Michael, if you would bring forth the elements. And if some of the other brothers would get the water ready for the wash. Or is it already? Huh? Well, that's okay. We still have to have water. Oh, they're ready. Okay. Okay. All right. If we had musicians, would come up.